The Russian foreign minister has condemned what he called the U.S. flagrant interference in Venezuela and shameless violation of international law. Sergei Lavrov, in a phone call with his U.S. counterpart Mike Pompeo, harshly criticized Washington's threats against the legitimate government in Caracas. Meanwhile, Venezuela's opposition leader Juan Guaido said that he will return home. He called for protests on Monday and Tuesday, but did not say when or how he planned to return. Guaido has spent the past few days, as you know, touring Latin American countries to muster support for his campaign to form a transition government, that is, and oust President Nicolas Maduro. He defied a court order prohibiting him from leaving the country. Maduro has suggested that he will be arrested if he returned to Venezuela. Let's discuss just a few aspects of that story with Mr. Alexander Ozotkan. He's a professor of international political economy as well as a senior geopolitical analyst who's joining us via Skype out of Washington, D.C. Mr. Ozotkan, it's good to have you with us. You know, the thing is that if he is let out of the country and he is touring, I'm talking about Mr. Guaido, and that in itself is in breach of the current Venezuelan laws, at least. And at the same time, President Maduro has suggested that upon his return, he will be arrested. Given the intricate situation at the moment, don't you think that if he is arrested upon returning, they're going to make a hero out of him?
I don't think so. First of all, thank you, Arash, for your invitation. It's always great to be with Press TV. Sure. I don't think they're going to make a hero out of him. I think a big bulk of President Maduro's constituents actually want that. What I'm really concerned about, and I do fully concur with the Russian foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, is what's happening in the international law aspect of this. The setting of this precedent where a political personality, in this case quite possibly a wholly owned subsidiary of the neocons in Washington, in a country, or any country for that matter, that he or she, in this case Mr. Guaido, gets to contest the leadership of a sitting incumbent president, is not only undemocratic, but is a very dangerous prospect in a world where right-wing fascist bullies like President Trump or John Bolton or Mike Pompeo or Jair Bolsonaro in Brazil get to dictate and demand regime change, be that in Venezuela or Syria or Iran or even Russia itself or anywhere else for that matter. These precedents must not be allowed, in my opinion, to take shape. These moves used to be the norm in the past, especially in South America, where we have arrogantly and illegally claimed as our own, quote, backyard, unquote. We need to enact laws and procedures at the UN level once and for all, where these blatant acts of foreign-directed illegalities would not be able to take place. If Mr. Guaido thinks he can usurp the power vis-a-vis American oil companies and belligerent neocons who are still drunk with power after the 2001 and 2003 disastrous policies in Afghanistan and Iraq, then I would tell Mr. Guaido that as easily as he may be installed in power in Venezuela by the colonialists and the international energy and banking puppet masters, he will be as easily gotten rid of when and if he decides not to do Washington and regional nations' bidding. But for starters, I don't know how appealing to surrounding nations like Colombia, Brazil, Argentina, Paraguay, and in this case Ecuador, would not constitute an act of treason against his own country. The fact that Washington and 50 other nations recognize this guy as Venezuela's rightful president in and out of itself is a disaster for international law. I don't foresee any peaceful transition of power, as Mr. Guaido is hoping or advocating, if the bigger bulk of the Venezuelan army decides to be behind President Maduro. Could an armed conflict and civil war scenario not cripple the country? But maybe that's what John Bolton and Mike Pompeo plan all along, to create enough anarchy to loot Venezuela's oil and prevent it from being sold or transported to China. As a last point, when Cuba and Venezuela wanted to extend humanitarian aid to us in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina in 2005, August of 2005, we blatantly rejected that aid. So some consistency would certainly be in order here. Not that Venezuela's economic plight isn't on the verge of economic, social, and political disaster.
Mm-hmm. You know, Professor, the other aspect that I'd like to discuss with you, of course, I totally agree with you about the bad precedents regarding Guaido's case right now and his return. But bear in mind that he has ordered protests on Monday and Tuesday, which is going to add to the already volatile situation in that country. At the same time, you see, the things that he does is obviously without a doubt due to the support, on the back of the support that he's receiving, not only from the U.S., which is very important, but like you mentioned, from the other neighboring countries. But at the same time, there are some other countries who are in support of the government in Venezuela, including Russia, and so far as I know, China and some other countries. What is it that can be done to bolster the government for the equilibrium to be somewhat equal? Because right now, things in the international arena, as far as Latin America and the American continent is concerned, is turning in his favor, Guaido.
What we need to do, well, first of all, the disastrous economic policies of President Maduro is not exactly helping the situation. I think that's the trigger for this situation. Mm-hmm. When you completely cripple the economy of a country, whether it's internal or in this case, a lot of sanctions and a lot of CIA meddling from outside, it's, in my opinion, it's both. When you do that, you turn a country, you destroy the social fabric of a country and you turn people into survivalists, social Darwinism takes over. And at that moment, then, you know, what's necessary, what's most crucial at that moment seems to take place. And that's the wave that Mr. Guaido is riding. I think the fact that we need to realize in this country that we are going to enter a multilateral world instead of the unilateral world that we have experienced since the fall of the Soviet Union in 1991, that arrangement is over. We have China, we have India, we have Russia, all of whom are putting a front together up to now with Brazil, with the BRIC nations, to stand up to the Anglo-American world order. And so the standing of two Russian bombers to, that's another story unto itself, to Venezuela. But I think Russia's position is that if you're going to meddle in Ukraine, we are certainly going to, interfere and interject power in South America. Because of the Monroe Doctrine, James Monroe, who, in 1923, our president, we had this arrogant policy of basically thinking or assuming that the entire Western Hemisphere should be in our sphere of influence. And that came at a time when we wanted to kick the Europeans out. So perhaps in that sense, our Southern American neighbors agreed with us, when we were comparing us to Spain at that time. But you have this situation in South America where a lot of these leftist populist heads of state are gone and they're being replaced by almost nearly fascist people like Bolsonaro, and these people always pandered to Washington, and God forbid Argentina gets in their hand and some character like Perón takes over. I mean, the only person we got left in South America is the president of Bolivia, with the death of Hugo Chavez and his tremendous charisma. Nobody is really left, and I think CIA is completely taking advantage of this situation and making it worse. But I don't think China and Russia are going to back down, especially China. It is not in China's interest for more mayhem and anarchy in the world. It's exactly the opposite. Their economy is growing, and if anyone knows anything about business, businesses don't like uncertainty. And uncertainty is what neocons are exporting all over the world. So China, not that it's necessarily for President Maduro, but it's not in their national interest for anarchy to reign over in Venezuela, because Venezuela is more interested in selling its oil to China than the 7% of our consumption here in the United States, which were provided by Venezuela. Mm-hmm. So everything is changing. The players are changing, and national interests are changing.
Totally.